Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, back from vacation. Thanks to Brett Winterbull for filling in for me. Jim is at the Republican National Convention, but actually in his place today, also from the Republican National Convention, is Daniel Foster, who is the news editor at National Review Online. And Dan, it's always good to have you with us.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Well, there's good news, bad news, crazy news for conservatives as always. Let's start with the good news, and it's a temporary good news, and that's that tropical storm, soon to be Hurricane Isaac, did hit Tampa, but not nearly with the ferocity that some people were fearing. And, you know, just a few days ago, the mayor of Tampa was saying, we'll clear out the whole city if we have to. This thing looks like it could be that kind of storm. Now it's still headed towards the Gulf Coast, could be a Category 2 by the time it gets there, and we could have some significant issues up there, possibly. But the good news is, at least in terms of Tampa, Dan, is that it was not nearly as bad as it could have been. And that means that at least three quarters of this convention looks to be back on schedule.
Yeah, it wasn't really bad. We were talking before we went on air about it only really started to rain hard last night about 10 o'clock, although there was one kind of richly ironic moment. There was a big welcome party for the delegates and some hacks like myself at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg. And, you know, it got a little dusty and windy and rainy while we were all inside the dome there. And I thought, huh, you know, 15,000 people inside of a dome during a hurricane, what could go wrong? there was that little scare. You know, the logistics here for as complex of a undertaking as it is and will be, in terms of getting people ready for the storm, have been pretty good. And like you said, it's a temporary reprieve. The storm might pick up strength as it hits the Gulf Coast, which never seems to be spared in these things. So we'll have to, you know, pray that that doesn't lead to too much destruction and misery. But for now, convention on, and we move forward.
Yeah, back to Isaac for martini number three, Dan. But before we get to martini number two, I just want to say I'm proud of you for riding out the storm and for not sparking a looting rampage inside the Tropicana Field. That's well done on your part.
I was sorely tempted. I did rip out a couple of seats, but just for souvenirs, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, even though they're a good baseball team, the Rays will not miss those seats based
That's
on
right.
their traditional attendance figures. So anyway, on to martini number two now. And as you might imagine, all of this is convention related for much of the week. The networks, the last few cycles, they've been cutting back and cutting back and cutting back, perhaps because they realize more and more people are going to cable news or watching online. I don't know what the deal is, Dan, but you've got networks now, and this is the bad martini, saying that they're going to limit this week to 1 hour of coverage, and I assume the same will be true for the Democratic convention, although that may not be the safest assumption in the world. But basically, they're saying, we're going to show you the nominee's speech, and that's it. And that really takes away from, you know, setting the stage, understanding from other people who are experts on economics or cultural issues or the military, national security, all the different ways that these candidates are different. And to only give you the nominee, which is better than nothing, really takes away from the purpose of the convention, which is obviously no longer a cliffhanger when it comes to actually picking the nominee.
Yeah, it's ironic. I think that the way that the networks, and even to a certain extent cable news, cover the race while it's going on, while it might be fodder for junkies like us and professionals like us, you know, I'd much rather have a media world where we weren't hanging on Mitt Romney's every reaction to a pastry, and instead throughout the, you know, at some point in July, and instead get wall-to-wall coverage of the convention. I mean, after all, the convention is supposed to be the Republican Party announcing itself to the world. This is who we are. This is who we believe in. This is the guy we picked, and this is why we picked him. And then at the end, here's the guy. And to just cover that last part without giving the story of why the party is where it is and all the, you know, introductory speeches and build up, I think is kind of unfortunate. Like I said, I'd much rather not have Brian Williams sometime in May or June talking about dogs on roofs or what the proper name for a donut, and, you know, use that time to run reruns of Hawaii 5-0. And then when it comes time for the convention, it should, you know, there should be some heavy coverage. So that is unfortunate. But the good news is we live in a endless media universe. So if you absolutely have to see Congressman so-and-so speak at 7:30 a.m., then you can go find that.
C-SPAN will be there. Yeah, go watch on C-SPAN. You should at least have the vice presidential nominee, and I think the keynote speaker, and if the spouse of the nominee is going to be speaking, that I think that's an important way to fill in some of the blanks if you don't really know a lot about the nominee, as people keep seeming to say about Mitt Romney. So I think Ann Romney's speech will be important. Chris Christie, Paul Ryan, obviously, Marco Rubio introducing Romney. I think those are critical speeches, not to demean anyone else, but those are really the highlights, and I think to not cover that, especially as you mentioned during rerun season, is missing the whole point.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Those are the big ones, and you know, like I said, they're important for setting the scene. Although I would say this, I think Chris Christie is likely to deliver some highlights that will later be aired on the networks, even if they aren't covered live. So we can look forward to that.
That is a bold prediction, which I'm sure will come true. On to Martini number three now, Dan, and I don't know if you have a good answer to this. I certainly don't. I remember back in the day, and back in the day is like the 2000 campaign. George W. Bush and the Republicans went first because they were the party out of power. Their convention was at the very end of July, very early August. Next week, Al Gore and the Democrats did their thing in Los Angeles. And by mid-August, the convention seasons were over. And oh, by the way, nowhere near the peak of hurricane season, which is late August, early September. For whatever reason, the Bush reelection team in 2004 decided to go right up to Labor Day. There were huge hurricanes going on in Florida. Jeb Bush didn't go, which was probably a good thing for him politically, perhaps. In the end, it was somewhat of a distraction from the convention, which was not taken off schedule. 2008, Republicans are in Minnesota. They do the same thing again. They have to cancel the first day because they don't want to look insensitive if a Gulf Coast hurricane causes a lot of damage. And now we have the situation here. So while it may behoove them monetarily, certainly, and in other ways to move this as late as possible, the logistics of this just isn't working out as far as I can tell.
Yeah, at this rate, they're going to move the next convention to Key West, you know, and see what happens. It doesn't make any sense. And as you put it, you either have to, I mean, 2008, in a certain sense, I remember thinking at the time, was kind of a lame move, I thought, to cut that day. But you totally understood why the GOP did it. And the media environment, the narrative, fair or unfair, and I think unfair, created around Katrina and the aftermath of that. You can understand the GOP doing what it did in 2008. But this, I mean, you're just asking for it. Setting a convention in Tampa in late August, early September.
Right.
You're just asking for it. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we got like we were on the thin end of the distribution of possible outcomes, bad outcomes that could have accrued from something like this. So we actually got lucky, as we said in the first martini. I don't see any reason why the convention couldn't have been a little bit earlier. It's also, let me use this opportunity to complain as a hack. It's also a little close to Charlotte for my taste. Those flights from Tampa to Charlotte are going to be just as full and boisterous as the ones down here. But that's my bugaboo. I shouldn't complain. I got a pretty good job.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Daniel Foster is news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.